Welcome to Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship with Pastor Jim Swigert.
Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship. Such an exciting day. Excited to say, let's open our Bibles to the book of Colossians. Let's read together the first 8 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, once again, we give you thanks for this wonderful day as this group of believers, called out by faith, assembled together to worship you, to fellowship, and to now have a time in your word. And Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be our teacher in instructing us in your truths, that we might grow in the true grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless our time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the different churches, they contain particular themes. In Romans, we know it's justification by faith. In Ephesians, it's the union of Christ and his church and that wonderful mystery that Paul revealed to us through the Spirit. In Philippians, it's the joy of the believer in our walk with Christ. And this epistle to the Colossians, the theme is the supremacy of Christ, as Jesus the Christ is the head of all creation and head of the church. And we'll see as we go through this book of Colossians that Colossians has a distinct message, a message of hope that comes by the way of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. At the time of Paul writing this letter to the church of Colossae, there was a serious threat to Christianity by the way of religious and philosophical plurality, the baggage of differing views within society. And the threat, the danger to the church, of course, was that these different philosophies and spiritual views, which were contrary to truth, contrary to the Word of God, they were finding their way into the church, and the false teachers were leading the church away from the truth. That certainly sounds familiar, doesn't it? We live in a world that denies absolute truth and says that all beliefs are true and we should be tolerant of all views. So we should go ahead and put on our coexist bumper stickers. And I'm sure that you've seen those coexist bumper stickers. They're everywhere. You know, they just reflect a view that all religions and all philosophical views are the same. And that we just have to get along. And then, of course, there's the belief that we don't even need to have any beliefs, called the nones. Unfortunately, these kind of things are philosophy and teachings have entered into the church today. And, you know, and it only happens and can only enter into the church when the church departs from the true Word of God, when they depart from the Bible. And then ultimately occurs a departure from the one true Jesus. And when Jesus is departed, hope is lost for man. And again, we're going to see throughout this epistle that an overwhelming theme is the hope that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of God's love to man. So the Apostle Paul, he writes to the Church of Colossae, presenting Jesus as the absolute head of all creation and the absolute head of the church. So let's dive in here. In verse 1 it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So it's very clear that the apostle Paul wrote this letter. And he wrote this letter when he was in prison in Rome, somewhere around 63 or 64 AD. And Colossians, as we know, is one of the four prison epistles, the other three being Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. And notice here Paul says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The will of God. Paul didn't wake up one morning and say, well, I think I'm going to be an apostle of Jesus. Paul, as you remember, by the will of God, on his way to, on the Damascus Road, to persecute Christians, and he had that encounter with Jesus. And that encounter was by the will of God. And as the Lord worked in Paul, the will of God was confirmed. As Paul went on the different missionary journeys, which we have recorded for us in the book of Acts, the will of God was confirmed. And it's the will of God that Paul was an apostle. He was one who was sent by God to be who he was, a true leader in the early church and a powerful witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of the will of God, we must think this morning of Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship. You know, many of us are in different seasons of life. Up to this point, many used by God, following God. And now, by the will of God, as I am truly convinced, it is the will of God that Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship, the Lord has brought us together. And by the will of God, we are to be powerful witnesses, bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God. And that's a question when we just think about that phrase and we read these words, the will of God. It's a work of the Spirit to even search our own hearts. Are we walking in the will of God? As Paul here, he mentions in these opening words to the church of Colossae that he was an apostle by the will of God. He's not being prideful or being arrogant when he says that he's an apostle, but simply showing his authority, and that his authority wasn't his own, but it was the authority of God. And this certainly ties into an interesting note that Paul probably had not met these believers in Colossae, which is different compared to the other churches that Paul had a connection with. As he went to those cities, he shared the gospel. People believed and churches were established. And again, we read of these different churches in the book of Acts. But here, the church of Colossae had a different start. They had a plant, if you will, a beginning. And interesting to know that Paul most likely never made it to Colossae. At one point, you might be thinking, how does he know this? How can I say that Paul never made it to Colossae? Well, over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And so again, Paul never making it to Colossae, but the church nevertheless had a start. And no doubt, we read in Acts chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, most likely how this church had its beginning. Paul was there in Ephesus for a couple years, teaching and making disciples. And we read in Acts chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "But when some were hardened, and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So when you put the pieces together, a man named Epaphras had been in Ephesus, most likely hearing the gospel from the Apostle Paul, being one of those disciples, coming back to his hometown and Colossae and proclaimed the gospel. People were saved. They received the gospel message. They surrendered their lives to the Lord. And then they began to assemble as believers. The ecclesia was established. And interesting to note also, in the book of Colossians, in this letter from the Apostle Paul, there was a few others that were named within the church of Colossae. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, Onesimus, who was a runaway slave who belonged to Philemon. And Paul evidently had led Onesimus to Jesus while in prison in Rome and sent him back to Colossae with this letter to make things right with Philemon. And we know in Philemon chapter 1, verse 2, it's mentioned that he and his wife hosted the church there in his home. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, we're introduced to another person, important person there amidst the Colossians. We read Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Fascinating verse, and certainly a verse that is very near and dear to my heart. A few months ago, after the announcement that the church plant would take place coming out of Calvary Chapel, Cincinnati, Pastor Brian and I were able to sit down with Pastor Bill Gallatin and a few other men. And one of those other men, Pastor Ted, he asked me the question as we were discussing the church plan and just how the Spirit of God was moving. And I was asked the question, well, what one verse, what did God speak to you in one verse? What was the verse? What was the verse? Implying, you know, the Lord's going to speak from His Word, and a word of confirmation. And this verse here is a scripture that the Lord spoke to me, which says, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And, you know, been blessed to be in the ministry for many years, part of a church plant back in 1998 in St. Mary's, Ohio, Calvary Christian Fellowship, under the direction of pastoral leadership of Pastor Mike Spalding, who is now the Calvary Chapel pastor in Lima, Ohio. A group of 22 believers started out, just as we have started out at Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship. At Calvary Christian Fellowship in St. Mary's, 22 believers stepped out in faith, and that church began. And a few years down the road, Pastor Mike stepped down, and the Lord called me to pastor Calvary Christian Fellowship. And really, that calling was even previous before Pastor Mike stepped down and left the area. And our church were essentially without a senior pastor for almost a year. And there's a few brothers and I who rotated to take the pulpit. And then finally, after some time, I surrendered to that call. And for 16 plus years, I pastored that wonderful church in St. Mary's, Ohio. And, you know, and then, you know, in 2019, to make a long story short, the Lord was really stirring in our hearts about there would be a day soon that we would be leaving Calvary Christian Fellowship, which was hard to take. It was hard to grasp and then to walk that out. But we know, and the Lord confirmed through many different men and ministry and people, and the Lord just, you know, He was very clear in the direction of coming to Cincinnati, clear in the sense that we know all the arrows were pointing to Cincinnati, not fully understanding, but nevertheless, we stepped out in faith. And during 2020, which we know as the COVID year, when COVID was introduced into the world. We left Calvary Chapel in St. Mary's, Ohio, came to Cincinnati, and for the last 2 years I've served as an associate pastor there. But this scripture then, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And we certainly see the hand of God in all of this moving us to Cincinnati. I do believe that I have the calling to be a senior pastor, a calling to teach His Word, a calling to love the sheep, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And the Lord has just showed that. So taking heed to the ministry in which the Lord has given, and that's our desire, is to fulfill it, to fulfill the will of God in our life. And we have that together. As many of you, again, have been part of church plants, been part of other churches and serving, and here we are. The Lord's brought us together, and it's our great desire to serve God with all of our hearts and all of our mind and all of our strength, and just to glorify Him. And we're so thankful. And it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To the saints, which means consecrated ones, set apart, and it's meant to be a meaning for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians, followers of Jesus, the church. We're called saints in the Word. We're called to be set apart. And perhaps some of us woke up this morning, we didn't feel very saintly, but nevertheless, this is the way the Bible describes us. God describes us as saints. And it says here, faithful brethren. Very interesting phrase, faithful brethren. Faithful speaks of being trustworthy. Those who trusted and those who do trust in the Lord. Those who are faithful. Those who live believing will be faithful in the sense of having assurance and confidence and true to his or her profession to the Lord. And then brethren, it certainly speaks of the bond, the union as followers of Christ, the brethren in Christ. And of course, we have grace and peace. And I love Pastor Chuck's, his definition of grace and peace, the Siamese twins of the New Testament. Throughout this letter to the church of the Colossians, Paul, under the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he really touches on grace and peace throughout this epistle, which we'll dig into. But we must receive the grace of God before we can experience the peace of God. Grace, in the most basic meaning, is unmerited favor. God's grace is something that He gives, and it must be received. And consider this one foundational verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice the word gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. We did not earn anything from God. He gave His only begotten Son to come to this earth, to go to the cross, to die on the cross for our sin, to pay a debt that we owe to God. And it's by God's grace that He sent Him, His own Son, to the cross, that He would die on the cross, that He would be buried, and on the third day He would raise again. And the Bible says that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it's the grace of God. We must experience the grace of God, meaning receive what God offers to us, His Son Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins, and to give us abundant life. We must receive that grace before we can walk in peace, the peace that comes from God. We give thanks to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And we see in Paul's letters to the different churches, when we read, he gives thanks to God for them, Paul was thankful to God for all the church he was connected to, and thankful that they were a work of God, praising God for the work that the Lord does in the life of His people. I was so blessed this past week leading up to the first service of Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship, hearing from so many different brothers in the Lord, many Calvary Chapel pastors, just having made that connection with them over the years, and just being thankful, you know, for the work of the Lord, as they would call and share that, just thankful for the work of the Lord, a Calvary Chapel church plant, you know. And Paul mentions here he was praying for them, and reminds them that Paul certainly was a man of prayer. Verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Since we heard. That's what Paul says. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Paul and those that were with him heard about the believers at Colossae. And that certainly speaks of testimony. It speaks of witness, which points to the testimony of what God had done and was doing amidst the Colossians. The question arises then, what do they hear about the church of Colossae? Well, it's clearly laid out here. Faith, love, hope. As good students of the Bible, the Word of God, you know these three words were favorites of Paul. Remember, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. So we see right there a work of faith, a labor of love, patience and hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And when you look at these three things, faith, love, hope, it's been said, hope is the root, faith is the plant, and love is the fruit. It's a work of God, a work of the Holy Spirit within believers. Let's look more closely at these three words, faith, hope, and love. Faith is only as good as the object of faith, faith in Christ Jesus. Earnestly trusting in Jesus and trusting in God. Trusting in the work of God. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. The Bible also says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what about hope? The hope that we have in God is not a wishy hope, but it's an absolute confidence and absolute assurance. I oftentimes think of my beloved Cincinnati Reds when I think of hope. If I were to tell you I hope for the Reds win tomorrow, you would be thinking that that's not a very great hope. Now, if I told you I'm waiting for the Reds to have a good year next year, you might be thinking, well, that is not such a great hope. But the hope that we have in God is an absolute confidence. In 1 Timothy, Paul mentions the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. And it says here, laid up in heaven, which points me to Peter's epistle, as he clearly describes this for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Living hope. That's what we have in our Christ Jesus, who's the blessed one from God and our Father, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, that's just a powerful verse. That's a verse that you chew on, you meditate on, you think upon. And you think about the tough circumstances that we might ever go through on this earth. And so many people are suffering. So many people are suffering health issues, financial issues. You have the TV, the news on, or you scroll through social media. So much is just so negative. Certainly a world that is rejecting God. Therefore, there is no hope in this world. But we're reminded here from the Spirit of God that the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, it is a living hope. And it's rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He was sent by our Father. He gave his only begotten Son that we might have life. Not just eternal life for the future, but we might have eternal life here on earth. The abundant life that is offered through a personal relationship with God through his Son Jesus. Then what about love? Love for the saints, it says here. This is what Paul heard about the church of Colossae. He heard about their love for all the saints, for other believers. Remember, Jesus said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Know how powerful this, when you think about the days that we're living in, the church is called to be light to the world and salt to the earth. It seems like there's so much time wasted on Christians devouring one another. The Bible tells us we are to love one another. And it's a powerful witness when the church loves one another, especially within the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul gave this exhortation. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." That's a powerful exhortation for you and I today by the Spirit of God. You know, it's so awesome and amazing. A church plant has started. We're here. We're excited. We've worshiped the Lord this morning, and how wonderful our worship is to God. He's the one who makes it awesome. But here we are, very excited. We're together worshiping God and fellowshipping, and we're in His Word. And we can honestly say, "I know, because I know you, I know us, that we certainly love one another." But this isn't the end of end alls here. It's our love for one another must grow. And I pray for us that our love would grow, and that it would be a testimony to all those around us of the work of God in our hearts. And the love that we have one another is rooted in Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 1 then of Colossians, Paul goes on after describing these characteristics from the Colossian of faith, hope, and love. Second part of verse 5, "Of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Speaking of the gospel here, the good news of Jesus Christ, the one who was sent by the Father. Well, what about Jesus the Christ? What is the gospel? And that's a question that we must be able to answer as followers of Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, "Well, yeah, that's just plain and simple, Jim." But the truth is, the gospel in our day is being distorted. It's not the gospel of a certain denomination or a certain famous, well-known author or teacher. Paul's very clear in his letter to the Corinth church. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, this is interesting. It says here, and obviously, Paul writing to that church of Corinth. You know, the New Testament had not been, complete. It was not, being sent out as a whole. And it says here, the scriptures. And again, according to the scriptures, what scriptures did Paul have? Well, he had the Old Testament, which pointed to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, portraying him. If you think of Isaiah chapter 53, certainly speaking of one who was sent, who would go to the cross to die for the transgressions, the sins of man. And so that's what Paul reasoned as he went into the synagogues, and as he traveled on the missionary journeys, Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures, from the Old Testament scriptures, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel, that Jesus went to the cross, he was buried, he rose on the third day. That's the gospel. It's good news. We got to have the bad news before we can get to the good news. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, at one time, the Colossians, they heard the gospel. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, Epaphras, having heard the truth of the gospel in Ephesus, sitting under the Apostle Paul, came back to Colossae, shared the good news. They heard, they believed, meaning they received it. They surrendered their lives to the Lord, and a church began. And again, this connects us with that great commission that Jesus gave his disciples, and it's the great commission for you and I. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, in verse 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And certainly that's our mission. That's our commission, to go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And that certainly speaks of discipleship. We are to go and make disciples. That comes through evangelization, sharing the gospel. As they come to the Lord, we disciple them in the Lord with his word. I think with our time here now, I'm going to close with a passage of scripture speaking of the love that God desires to be a witness from his church. I think of the high priest prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father the night before he went to the cross. And very fascinating prayer. It certainly is the Lord's prayer. In John chapter 17, verse 20, it says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold me glory which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Again, just know, folks, that Jesus, not only did he pray for his disciples, he prayed for you and I. He prayed that the love that he and the Father had, the oneness that they had, that we too would have that oneness with God the Father and God the Son, and that we would love one another, fervently love one another. I just thank the work that God is going to do. I thank the Lord for the work that he's already done leading up to the first service at Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship. It's a blessing to be here to share the Word of God. And I just thank you for all of you. And as we continue on this journey, on this road, that we would just continue to seek God. And we need to understand that it's only by His strength that we could be used by Him. We're so thankful that He has entrusted us with a church plan. And it's our great desire to glorify Him. So if you would, let's just have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you just again to give you thanks for all that you are, Lord. We are so thankful that as a body of believers, that we have the prayer of Jesus. We know that, Jesus, you're praying for your people even now as you sit at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness to your word. And Lord, we are in great need of your power, your wisdom, and your strength. And so we stand here today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your spirit, as we've seen through your word and testimony from the church at Colossae, the characteristics, faith, hope, and love, I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we would indeed have these characteristics flowing from our life, bearing witness of Jesus. Father, I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters here. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus.